Ladies and gentlemen,
you want experience during your football season? Well, buckle up, sweet cheeks.
That's all we need.
We've got all the experience in the world.
This is I Want Your Flex with Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon. Mike and Dan break down everything you need to set your lineups. From position rankings to starts and sits, the guys help you make those hard decisions. And now, let's get your flex on. Here's Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon.
All right, here it is. Honestly, it's our final Friday morning I Want Your Flex podcast of the 2021 season. Again, doesn't mean we're going away, but we're just going to join you once a week once the regular season wraps up. Get Mike Harmon on Twitter at Swollen Dome. Find me on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. And Mike, that regular season wraps up this weekend. We've got two games on Saturday, a bit of a different twist, and then the other 14 games taking place on Sunday. We know a lot of leagues wrapped up in week 17, but there still can be reason to play fantasy football in week 18.
Plenty of ways to make it happen, and certainly the biggest part of this is trying to figure out not only, you know, your formatting, but also how you throw darts to figure out who's actually going to play. And once they suit up, will they play a full game, or is this the equivalence of the old Peyton Manning Queens wave after a series or two? No matter how much everybody talks about, I want to play, I'm ready to play, that's what I do, I'm a competitor. Hey, you want the rest of the day off? Yes. Please, I'd love to sit and watch a game for a while. So it'll be curious to watch. But yeah, long, weird, twisting, winding road in a weird championship week gets us to this point. Just time to exhale a bit.
That's the other thing about this, of players playing and then maybe not playing, is you could have examples. Let's just take the AFC East, for example, where the Patriots need the Bills to lose. If you were to play at a daily fantasy league and you're saying, oh, the Patriots need to win this game, well, if the Bills are up 28-0 on the Jets, there's no reason for any of the Patriots stars to continue to play in that game. I would try to load up on Raiders and Chargers if I could,
yeah.
Because you know that game is going to mean something, and try to find the meaning in that one. Maybe even for a San Francisco team that's trying to make the playoffs, a Saints team that's trying to make the playoffs, those sort of things happen. But if you're in the playoffs like New England is and you need some help to get in, maybe it's not the smartest way to line up guys, just because if the other team isn't doing what they're supposed to do and not helping you, then you could be left out in the cold.
Yeah, if you're not being helped with seeding, then certainly scoreboard watching, as much as folks will say, no, we're there and we're going to play our 60. Let's call it what it is. I mean, as soon as the aspirations of bumping up a spot or two or whatever the permutations are as you go through that process, as soon as those are out the window and look like long shots, then yeah, it becomes a load management. Let's get a little bit of rest ahead of the next week, right? I mean, you saw certainly throughout the week more of the protocol numbers, but part of that is also, all right, these guys are going into protocol. They don't have a game that matters necessarily this week. I mean, so you've got that in effect where you've clinched a playoff berth, and maybe you don't see the overall value of moving one spot, that you'd rather get guys healthy. So as much as there's tough talk as you and I sit down to record this, a lot changes in 72 hours, and certainly once the ball even kicks off.
It absolutely does. If you're playing daily fantasy or if your championship game does happen to be in week 18, Mike Harmon will have some hot plays for you. There could be a million cold sores. So I think we're just going to go with the guys that you may want to take a chance on in week 18. Also, it gives us the opportunity to say, hold on, your fantasy season is not over yet. There are ways to play fantasy throughout the playoffs. And I'm going to reiterate something that I did at this same exact time a year ago, Mike. There are different versions of fantasy games that you can play during an NFL playoff schedule. You can obviously do daily fantasy. You could try to figure out pulling a little normal fantasy league with a draft of the 14 teams that are in the playoffs and play on that way. One of the things that we do as a bit of a combo with my league is we take all of the 14 teams and we require each team to be represented in your fantasy lineup. So you would have two quarterbacks, four running backs, four wide receivers, two tight ends, a kicker, and a team defense. And you can only take one player from one team. For example, the Green Bay Packers. You can't have Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams on your team. You could have Aaron Rodgers and another quarterback from the other 13 teams, but you can't have two Packers on your team. So you have to make those decisions. It's one of the ways that we love to extend our fantasy season, and we've done this now for the last 6 or 7 years, and it's been a lot of fun in the league.
Oh, I like that twist, certainly. No stacking involved, no handcuffing, no nothing.
It also takes an opportunity, just a quick interject, of you kind of have to predict who you like that's going to advance to the playoffs. So there's not only the fantasy aspect of it, there's also who can I get two games out of,
sure,
three games out of? Who's going to be scoring the most? If I want my quarterbacks to go the longest run, who are going to play in the Super Bowl? That's something to figure out as well. So it just adds a little different dynamic.
Well, certainly. I mean, you go that route, and certainly the traditional draft way, same thing, 14 teams and draft as you will. The strategy, again, how many games am I going to get out of a guy, or am I just looking, even if they go down in a blaze of glory, I can get one monster game in a shootout as they bow out. So it's certainly one of those. I've always advocated for the 2 week fantasy title. I don't know that adding the next week, to adding the week 18 and 17th game, how that'll look, right? I want to see this play out to see what teams actually do for the 60 minutes. Because I'm very nervous about the product that we're going to see in many of these games
on
Sunday.
I hate Week 18. Like, I can't stand it. And it's not because of what it means in the division matchups that they have. Is that there's no fantasy. And I'm usually not a daily fantasy player, more of the different leagues that we go about with. But without your league that you've been following for the last 15 or 16 or 17 weeks, like, even if you're eliminated, you know that there's other games going on that you may check in. I almost feel naked in week 18. I almost get more annoyed with that than the final week of the preseason, just because you're so inclined to be playing fantasy that I just disliked it and tried to figure out different ways to enjoy it. But to me, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the old Week 18 just because of the lack of fantasy options that there are.
Yeah, I'm just curious, again, all the tough talk and the competitive, like, we've heard that term like 9 billion times. Yeah, we're still competing. We're still going. It's like, no, you're eliminated. And, you as the coaches, you're probably not there next year. So what exactly are we doing here? What are your motivations? What are, for the players? It's not like it's the bowl season where it's, all right, let's evaluate some of the young guys, but to some degree it is. And this is where the danger, it's the glory and the danger of from the NFL scheduling side, Dan, of, divisional matchups all down the stretch. And I understand the final week that you want to do it, but the fact that for some of these games we're having the rematch of something we saw in either week 14 or 15 still just doesn't sit right with me. Just that
should have more
and
value.
I know you want to wait it, but having them all late, if you're missing a player, and we'll go through our awards for the year, and there's a couple of guys that you'd say, yeah, I really loved you, but kind of in the analysis of things, and it goes the same way with trying to win a divisional title of saying, hey, we're a playoff berth's on the line, but you have to have all your guys for the final 4 weeks. Like, I like it spread out a little bit.
I agree with that as well, and I also think that the NFL, and I think this week is the perfect example of it, they only had one option for their Sunday night game. I mean, the two playoff games that they wanted on Saturday, or the playoff connected games on Saturday that would have playoff implications, really don't. I mean, the Chiefs, now no longer the one seed, will need some help if they want to get back to the one seed spot, but they're playing Denver, who's already eliminated. Cowboys are in the playoffs. Eagles are in the playoffs. Cowboys have wrapped up the division. I mean, there's not a lot to play for in those Saturday games, and it was supposed to be a marquee spot, and I think it just shows that when you have these divisional matchups, you could have randomly come across a Chargers-Raiders win, and they're in with this sort of schedule. It didn't need to be two division opponents. I think that says a lot too about how maybe the scheduling isn't working, when realistically there's only one game this week that is truly a win and you're in.
Yeah, try it. And even then, I think about it, if the unthinkable happened, and look, Jacksonville's not winning that game, but just out of the hypotheticals,
sure,
that they did. All right, it's a kneel down fest. Good night, everybody.
That would
we'll
be magnificent.
See you in the playoffs.
That would be great. I would love it. It would totally top all those high school videos of people and student sections booing, because I think it's garbage as well of just sitting there running out the clock when you don't have a shot clock in high school hoops. But that would be the equivalent. They should just keep on punting on first down. But then, yeah, nice. The opportunity where somebody could run one back.
Or get
it blocked. Yeah.
or get really hurt based on, are we kind of playing this or are we not? Guys start going half speed.
It could have the Madden feature where you can skip ahead, you know, when you're trying to chew clock. And then the clock just goes really quickly. That's what we could get.
I like the way you think.
Could get on Sunday night. All right. Get Mike on Twitter, at Swollen Dome. Find me on Twitter, at Dan Beyer on Fox. I told you in the last podcast we were going to be handing out awards for 2021. Six categories in this podcast that we'll be handing out awards. We will do that. Let me tell you the categories, actually, quickly. Quarterback of the year, running back of the year, wide receiver of the year, tight end of the year, surprise of the year, and disappointment of the year. Those are your six categories that we will give awards out to. Mike and I will alternate on our picks on who we think could win those awards. Some may be obvious, some not as obvious as you would think. So we will get that after Mike Harmon provides us with his
hot plays.
There it is, some imaging for us in week 18. We are skipping the rankings as we normally do just because... Listen, there are guys that aren't playing. Joe Burrow's not going to be playing. We know Joe Mixon's out for Cincinnati against Cleveland. A lot of guys that are out. Justin Fields is going to start for
Chicago. Antonio Brown's not playing.
Yeah, Antonio Brown is he's not playing a game.
Fighting Cleveland scribes.
Antonio Brown's playing, but I'm not sure what exactly he is playing. But all right, let's get to your
hot plays
for week 18 of the National Football League season.
Well, as you said, let's go to both sides of that Chargers-Raiders matchup. Both quarterbacks, obviously Justin Herbert, a guy we may be talking about in a little bit. But for Derek Carr, some fantastic throws downfield. So he and Hunter Renfrow, we give them some love and their proper adoration here. Taysom Hill going up against Atlanta, looking for him to do his magic on the ground as always. Atlanta, we were questioning what they were bringing to the table. Look, record-wise, they were much different than if you just watch the games. Like, wait, they're that close to 500? What the hell? But for Taysom Hill, the opportunity to make some plays. Trey Lance going up against the Rams, both as a runner, and you saw a couple of touchdown passes. It wasn't always pretty, but another opportunity here in a game where for the Rams, you know, again, going back to a lot of motivations as you get back into the second half of games, San Francisco certainly still working to solidify things. Your guy, Russell Wilson, why? Because we have to do it one more time. Because I'm looking for valuation. In a daily fantasy league, you're going to find a little bit of value when it comes to him as well.
Yeah, I think it's a really good play because the game means nothing this year, and that's when Russell Wilson shows up at his best. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
See, I laid that one up for you. I knew the angst was there just below the surface.
Oh, the Cardinals do have something to play for, so they're going to need some they're going to need a little help from the Niners, but they have an opportunity to still win the division. So the Cardinals should be there. Seahawks, absolutely no motivation except to prevent the Jets from getting a better first-round pick.
Looking to the Jets. Let's not even Jamal Adams. I can't even go there because I live it every night with Jason Smith. All right, Dante Foreman going up against Houston. We give him a nod here. We look at DeAndre Swift still trying to finish out his year strong. His buddy Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's one of the great stories of the year, one of the great stat lines, a guy who's greatly outperformed draft prognostication, both in terms of fantasy drafts and certainly coming into the National Football League. Devin Singletary, he's got an opportunity to go run wild against the New York Football Jets. I didn't even need to say Josh Allen. I said he would be the number one quarterback in fantasy football, and damn it, he was. And then we look at guys a little bit deeper in the wide receiver position. Why? Because that's where it's going to be a little bit more fun. Because when you talk about Green Bay, well, I don't know how much you see Devontae Adams, so why don't we look at Alan Lazard? Why don't we look at maybe Valdez-Scantling as a little bit of a deeper play in that game? Maybe go to Braxton Berrios in that game against Buffalo. Why? Because they're going to be chasing.
Yeah.
They're going to be chasing. In red zone, he's shown an ability to make some plays. I think he's a – He's fascinating. They actually have a couple of playmakers with the Jets that intrigue me. Now it's a matter of, well, how do you bring Wilson along? He was really good at cutting down his turnovers second half of the year, and Michael Carter looks like he could be special at the running back position. But this is not New York Jets radio. This is Berrios in your fantasy lineup along the way. And if we want to dig a little deeper, then, yeah, Breshad Perriman, Tyler Johnson, maybe last week's hero for Tampa can find a little bit of love once again. You know, I mean, there's just some madness here in week 18, and I just got my popcorn ready at this point, Dan.
I'm glad you mentioned food, because how Braxton Berrios doesn't have a cereal called Berrios, I have no idea.
Well, yeah.
It would be like a Cheerios combination with berries. You know, whether it be raspberries and blueberries, however you want to do it, strawberry, that would be the marketing thing that I would do. Berrios, and it fits so well with just the cereal brand. I think that's what Braxton Berrios needs to get working on this.
Well, what's the company that did all the Flutie Flakes and everything else? Why are they not on this?
Right? Flutie Flakes, that's right. Good reference.
Right, and so many of those other novelty, you know, some of them had some great charitable ties to them. I really wish I had some of those, you know, just flattened boxes laying around. I used to have all the Walter Payton Wheaties ones. I think my brothers may still have those back in Chicago, some of those and some of the Jordans, but that's neither here nor there. But now I want cereal. I haven't had breakfast cereal in a while.
I liked a lot of cereals when I was younger. I mean, I was a fan of Honey Smacks, was a fan of Apple Jacks,
classic.
A fan of Frosted Flakes, both the Cocoa and the Fruity Pebbles, Cap'n Crunch, Lucky Charms, going down the list. I also was a fan of Boo Berry. And Boo Berry kind of like disappeared for a while, but then Boo Berry came back, and I was so excited to have Boo Berry. And then I had a bowl and could not believe that I had ate that crap when I was 8 or 9 years old. It was like I've eaten Lucky Charms, I've eaten again Honey Smacks, I've eaten Frosted Flakes, Cap'n Crunch, 4 years. Boo Berry did not make the transition from childhood to adulthood. I did not then want to try Count Chocula or Frankenberry, which, by the way, weren't even my favorites. I was a Boo Berry kid, but Boo Berry did not make the transition to adulthood for me.
Interesting. I've not had Boo Berry in a while. I do know that there was a pretty big deal. You know, the little Funko vinyl figures that they make. Mm-hmm. At one point, they did all those characters, and now they're vaulted, and those pieces are worth like $300-$400 a piece.
Oh, wow.
Wish I'd bought some of those celebrating my cereal ingestion of my
A box childhood. Of Booberry should be about 3 or 4 cents, because I was disappointed. Booberry makers need to get on their game. I'm not going to give them an award for worst cereal. It just did not transition. It just did not transition for me, and I was disappointed in Booberry. But maybe there are better things coming up in 2022, the year of the Boo. All right, let's look back at 2021. The regular season is here. Mike Harmon, we are going to hand out our awards. Here, again, are the categories. Quarterback of the year, running back of the year, wide receiver of the year, tight end of the year, surprise of the year, and disappointment of the year. Not only did we have this earlier, Mike.
Hot plays.
We now have this. We actually have a drum roll for announcing our awards. Yes, how about that? We've increased the budget here in 2022.
That's
on I Want Your Flex. We have taken all of our resources and poured it into a drum roll. All right, Mike Harmon, I will give you the floor. Your quarterback of the year for the 2021 fantasy football season is?
So hard. Because even with the shutout, Tom Brady, average draft position of 9th, or 10th, depending on your site, finish second.
And your winner, so it's Tom Brady? Is that? Let's try this again. Your quarterback of the year for 2021 is?
Tom Brady.
There it is.
I was trying to do my best big voice guy. No, it was one of those, as you're going through, you're like looking at average draft position, you're looking at weekly output and trying to find it. With Brady, even though we had that shutout game that might have torpedoed a bunch of folks out of the playoffs, frankly, but you're still looking at a guy finished number 2 overall, at least by my accounting and different sites, behind Josh Allen. And just week to week, even with the cast of characters constantly changing, that you got to just a ridiculous point total. Now, there were some valleys over the course of the season, but he still showed up every week, which we couldn't say for everybody else that would have been drafted in that QB1 category.
That is a big factor for me, is not laying an egg. And in the MVP pyramid that I had out in Week 17, I know that Josh Allen's game against the Falcons wasn't pretty in throwing three interceptions. We've also talked about the Bills wide receivers when it comes to Josh Allen receptions, but they also were playing in a snowstorm, basically, against the Falcons. Conditions weren't right, and yet he still ran for 80 yards, had two touchdowns. To your point about producing every game, Allen scored a touchdown in every game, whether it be passing or rushing, in every game except one. So with him, for me, Josh Allen is the quarterback of the year for 2021. So
it's funny, because I also had Justin Herbert sitting there. Mm-hmm. You know, start thinking about the largesse of his numbers over the course of the season. So, you know, it was a pretty crazy year, because you also look at, and to get into just the football analysis, other than Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers, everybody was back into the double-digit interceptions. It was like we were in the 70s and 80s mm-hmm. again. Just put the ball in play. Make something happen downfield.
I don't think that there's a way that you could put Kyler Murray, considering he missed the three games mm-hmm. that he did. Lamar Jackson's up and down season, and then his missed games obviously didn't put him into consideration. Joe Burrow's late push, maybe so. But you like Brady. I like Allen. I had it the other way. Brady 2, Allen 1. You have Brady 1 and Allen 2. I think we're going to agree on this one, but your running back of the year for 2021 is...
Austin Eckler.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, Austin Eckler is your... Is this like the surprise where they accidentally announced the wrong winner, or it is Austin Eckler?
Well, it was Austin Eckler, again, taking into it. I'm Hubarkish, so he's a jerk. And no, look, the other guy that I know you're going to name. I just look at it. I mean, Eckler was the 11th running back drafted on average.
Sure.
So, and finished second to, I'm sure, your running back of the year. So I'm going a little different than the...
Well, if you're talking about Rashad Penny, you're spot on.
Well, he gave you two or three really good games.
He did.
And you've been waiting on him for years.
You could have got him for a penny. You could have got him for a penny in an auction draft at the start of the year, which is the great thing.
Well, that's damn right. But yeah, so looking at what Austin Eckler was, and again, availability, you know, he did miss a game in the crunch time. So, like, that's the hard part. But looking at the overall body of work for him, based on where you would have been able to set up your team, is how I came to him as my running back MVP.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor, running back of the year. Sure. For me. I'm just, when you see what he's done over the last 13 games of the season, because he got off to a bit of a slow start, as the Colts did, but it's why he's in the conversation. 18 touchdowns on the ground, 2 receiving. I even think that Derrick Henry could get some consideration, considering on where he stands and what he did early on.
See, that's one of my surprises of the year, that at the running back position, he's still 15th, and he played half a season.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right? It's how it is. But yeah, Taylor, I mean, just is... So a match. Where's he at on the pyramid this week?
Jonathan Taylor is 4th on the pyramid.
Yes,
he is 4th. He dropped the spot, maybe because of a guy that we could name right now. All right, our wide receiver of the year for 2021, Mike Harmon, yours is?
On average, either 17th or 19th, depending on where you're looking, wide receiver drafted. That's Cooper Kupp.
Has
80,
to be.
80 points. In PPR leagues, 80 points better than Devontae Adams. Who was number two? I mean, think about that. 80 points.
The Kupp stuff, when you saw the Rams down, like he is such an important part of them winning. But even when they were losing, and they were losing in games, he still got his. Like because they would just continuously, constantly go to him. I'd love to make an argument for someone else. I was going to make an argument for my guy Deebo Samuel, but that's just for the only reason I call him my guy is because I put him on the pyramid for weeks on end, because I think what he's done this season in toggling between the wide receiver and running back position has been pretty amazing. But yeah, Coop's the no-brainer.
Well, it's funny because Deebo was the guy that I also wrote down. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was drafted as a back end number 3 on average, finishes 3rd amongst wide receivers in PPR, scoring 1,600 total yards, the 13 total touchdowns. And it's funny, just to circle back to the running backs for a second, right? Taylor and Eckler are ahead above every of others, but talking about how injuries beset the position and kind of changed the fantasy landscape. I mean, you still had Leonard Fournette and James Conner. Because they weren't available during the playoffs, it's hard to to put them in. But they were both drafted. I mean, they were ranked 33rd and 34th, respectively, and both finished in the top eight for fantasy purposes, despite missing a ton of time.
You may hear one of those names later on in this podcast. All right, let's get to the tight end of the year. There are more candidates than people, I think, would have thought at the start of the year. Your tight end of the year for 2021, Mike Harmon, is...
Well, I could go with the chalk of Mark Andrews, but you know what? I'm not going to.
Oh, all right.
Because I'm going to go with a guy that you probably picked up on waivers and then said, all right, let's go. And that's Dalton Schultz, who finishes as a top five, drafted as the 33rd tight end off the board. 75 catches, 787 yards, including 22 catches for 203 yards and two scores in the fantasy playoffs.
He wasn't even the top Cowboy tight end. I drafted Blake Jarwin in leagues.
No, but that's it. He was supposed to be the guy coming off injury.
Yeah, that was a miss by me. But
where's the epic fail button? Because I did the same. I liked Schultz, but it was clear that at least at the outset of things that they wanted Jarwin to be the guy, and unfortunately he can't stay on the field.
I did pick up Dalton Schultz at one point and then traded him for a draft pick, so a little Barry Horowitz pat on the back to myself. I did have Mark Andrews as the tight end of the year. Came up big as well over this last stretch, and as you're moving into the playoffs. Title game, 6 catches, 89 yards, but in the 3 games leading up to that, had the 3 contests of over 100 yards, had 4 touchdowns over those 3 games, and Mark Andrews, your leading receiver so far for tight ends in 2021, and likely to finish that, outdistancing Travis Kelce.
You know, he set a Ravens receiving record this year with his yardage total.
Jeez.
So think about that.
That says a lot. Yeah, it says a lot too. About the Ravens' receiving history
I get to put them in with the Bears, where receivers go to die. Yeah.
All right, our surprise of the year for 2021. We could go a lot of different ways with this one, Mike Harmon. Your surprise of this past season was
Carson Wentz finished as a QB1.
Wow, how about that? Congratulations, Carson
Good for
Wentz.
Him. I had no faith. No faith. Plenty of evidence on Fox Sports Radio. I still don't trust him in the playoffs, but that's a whole other thing.
I had faith in Carson Wentz, but not in the fantasy terms. Like, I thought that he was going to be fine for the Colts. I didn't think that he would put up fantasy numbers for the Colts like he did. But in the general idea of football, I like Carson Wentz, but I never would have thought he would have been a QB1.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing to me. If I can add one other.
Yeah,
was,
go ahead.
You mentioned with Josh Allen, the fact that Stephon Diggs was 7th among wide receivers in PPR leagues, because it never seemed like he had monster games.
Mm-hmm. That's
finishes
very strange.
94, over 1,100 yards, 9 touchdowns, fantastic season. But it always seemed like when there was a highlight, it was Dawson Knox or Gabriel Davis. Or somebody else was making a big play, yet there it was, slow and steady, Stephon Diggs getting it done.
My surprise of the year, number one, is Cordarrelle Patterson.
Just to take on
the role that he did with the Atlanta Falcons, over 1,100 yards from scrimmage, 11 touchdowns this year. They don't have Calvin Ridley. Took Kyle Pitts a while to get going. And Pitts' season is unique as well, because a lot was made about him going over 1,000 yards. But if you had Kyle Pitts in fantasy, I don't know if you're saying that it was a successful year, considering the lack of touchdown production. They were so much riding on the shoulders of Cordarrelle Patterson that he was my surprise of the year. The runner-up actually goes to Leonard Fournette, who you mentioned. I did not believe in Leonard Fournette. I know the Buccaneers had their run last year, but I didn't believe in him then. To have 1,266 yards from scrimmage, 10 touchdowns this season, Leonard Fournette would win the silver in my surprise of the year, but Cordarrelle Patterson gets the number one spot.
There you go. And I think I would circle back to Connor a little bit, too. We had no idea what to expect when
correct.
He went to Arizona. Right. And, you know, you could throw up Hunter Renfro. You can Jalen Waddle, because there was no idea that there'd be great success. Now we can get into yardage versus number of receptions and all, but for fantasy it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're not worried about that. It's the all right, what does it add up for your total? So he finishes 15th in PPR leagues coming out of week 17. Pretty amazing. But yeah, James Conner coming out of last year in Pittsburgh is like, all right, they picked him up. What does that mean? And he was just an absolute battering ram, unfortunately. Missed some games and some crucial time down the stretch.
Most shows like to end on a high note. We will end on a low note. Mike Harmon, our last category for our Fantasy Awards of 2021. Disappointment of the year for you is?
I've got like 13 names written down.
Well, my wife has one. It's me. No, I'm kidding.
No. Wow. Look at that. You want to talk that out a little bit as we go? For me, and part of it is injury, but overall just didn't get it done. AJ Brown.
Oh, jeez. You stole mine. That was
did,
my
did
mine.
I? I'm yeah. sorry. That's I didn't mean right. to jump. No, just because I was so bullish on him coming into the year. I had him as a top five, and I got some blowback for it as we were first releasing the podcast.
I'll
and
tell
everything.
You what. I will give you the numbers that I wrote down, and then I will cede the rest of my time to your other disappointments. AJ Brown had 433 yards receiving in three games this year. So his top three games, he had 433 yards. In the other nine, he had 368. That is awful. And you consider his lack of availability. So he may have had three great games for you, but you were likely continually waiting for him to perform and likely gave you a bunch of bad weeks. Also, just looking at how he and Tannehill connected or didn't connect, targeted 99 times this year and only has 59 receptions. That's Claypool-esque with Ben Roethlisberger. Like, that's how bad it was for A.J. Brown this year. To me, an enormous disappointment. So I agree with you in that disappointment of the year, A.J. Brown of the Titans.
Because it's funny, because Claypool was on my list.
There it is, one of the 12.
With his one
of the
touchdown.
Baker's dozen.
With his one touchdown. I know you didn't like Mike Davis, but he was still drafted as a starter.
Yeah.
And we talked about
that's
what
a, that's a them Cole problem.
David.
If you drafted him, yeah, you
no,
got
sure.
what you deserved.
Certainly in Chicago, Allen Robinson, while he missed time due to injury, there was just a lot of disconnect. He was drafted as a back-end WR1 in a lot of leagues. We talked about Lamar and Kyler in terms of availability, but that, you know, you it's kind of the deal with the devil you make if you're drafting a guy whose game is going to be predicated on does he get take that extra hit or not, and what is the, you know, build up mm-hmm. effect. Now Lamar went down after what was a pretty shoddy, ridiculous kind of tackle and illegal, I think, in by the letter of the law is what took him out the first time. And then Kyler obviously missing all that time. But I would be remiss if we didn't at least mention Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
Right. I wasn't on him. Like, that was not a guy I was going to invest in. But his only 100-yard game came this last week against the Bears in a 29-3 defeat. And at that point, who was playing him?
Yeah,
I mean, maybe as a flex, just saying, all right, he's going to get 12 to 15 touches, so okay. That was his only game this year, Dan, with 20 or more rushes.
Yeah, they played a lot of – well, they ran the ball every play, it seemed like, at the end of the year, just running him and Devontae Booker into the ground. What a way for Joe Judge to leave town. I mean, like, not only are we going to continue to play Saquon Barkley, we're going to continue to run him for you.
New Joe coach. Judge.
Yeah, good for you. I did have Christian McCaffrey written down, but – I mean, number one, it's become repetition that we are seemingly doing that.
Yeah.
But also, he was hurt enough where you weren't even playing him, so it was just more of like a bad pick than actually being disappointed.
No, that's it, right? You rolled the dice coming in, and certainly as you got into draft day and you and I going back, it's like, you know, a lot of folks were still bullish, thinking he'd get through. It's like, okay, draft him, but give me Derrick Henry, and unfortunately – you know, he loses after a half a season. And then we knew Taylor behind that offensive line would be strong. He was a little underdrafted. So kudos to those that had him fall into their laps towards the back end of the first round and then just rode that as far as they could. And hopefully you didn't trade him after week two or week three when things looked broken in Indianapolis. But, yeah, we could do the airing of the grievances for another 24 hours, I'm sure.
Well, I will tell the listeners of the I Want Your Flex podcast that, again, a new episode will come up Tuesday morning. And again, after this episode, we'll be doing these once a week, so there'll be a new episode every week. But Mike, myself, and our executive producer, Ryan Bershinger, will also be doing a 2022 draft over a series of episodes. So we'll do a first round, we'll do a second round of how we would draft if you were to have your draft in the summer of 2022 in advance of that season as well. We won't have the rookies involved, but that's okay. I don't know how many rookies we'd be taking early. Maybe one or two here or there, but we will be doing that coming up in our future broadcast. Plus, looking back at the regular season and also all of the NFL and playoff matchups. Anybody else you want to throw in the disappointment category before we wrap this up?
Ryan Pace.
We could name it the Ryan Pace
stringing me out for a long time.
Disappointment of the Year Award. We could just name it after him. Get him on.
No, I got an invitation to do a podcast in Chicago early next week, so I will be tweeting the hell out of that link because I guarantee you it'll be fire. I don't think I'll call anybody a jerk or a bum, but we may find some new words to mix therein.
Get Mike on Twitter at Swollen Dome. Find me, Dan Beyer, on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. And again, hope you can enjoy a nice bowl of Barrios when we talk to you again next week as the playoffs are set. This has been I Want Your Flex.